Good morning. It's great to be with you all today. My name is Dwayne, and first of all, I just want to say thanks to Lance and the elders and everyone for inviting me to share with you this morning. They mentioned the idea of taking notes. Hopefully, there'll be at least one idea I share this morning that'll be worth writing down. I want to start by introducing my family. This is my beautiful wife, Liliana. Today, she's actually with the children in the nursery, and that's well due because we've got four kids. And that was all intentional and even planned, and God blessed that plan. Liliana, and then Adrian is 11, Jonathan is 9, Sebastian's 3, and Estefan is about 1.5. And we have a whole lot of fun as a family. If you see a little bit of a whirlwind happening around in the playground, it's most likely one of those four. But anyways, it's a privilege to be a part of this community and for me to share with you today. A few weeks ago, some friends and my two oldest boys and I camping, and at this beautiful, beautiful place, and palm trees and crisp water, and it was just amazing. I honestly hadn't expected to find a place this beautiful so close to here. Now, I'm sorry, but I've already been saying where it is or what it was because part of the idea of not being full of people. But it was so incredible. I was just taking pictures, and it was so beautiful. And I shot this picture right here. And I actually found myself not able to enjoy what we were experiencing. I wasn't able to fully enjoy what we were experiencing. And I realized is that I was wishing that my wife, Liliana, I was wishing kids could be there with us. You've ever experienced something similar to that? Maybe you were on vacation somewhere and were alone and saw these incredible sights and these incredible architectures, and maybe it was art, or maybe it was nature, or maybe it was different things, but you were there alone and you realized, I wish I could be sharing this with someone special. Maybe it was a spouse, a boyfriend, cousin, aunt, I don't know. But have you ever had that experience as well where it's just like, oh, this is so incredible, but I can't really enjoy it to the full because I'm alone? And I don't know, I think personally that might be one of the reasons that selfies are such a big thing these days. You know, that's just the rage, it seems like. All of us love taking selfies. And there's maybe a little bit of part of the I'm the center of the universe, look at me, beautiful life, incredible, everything's beautiful, you know, 26 different shots, 7 different filters, it's cropped, it's fixed, but hey, this is my wonderful life. That's probably part of it, but I also think there's a part of it like, hey, I actually wish you were with me. And if you would give me a like, I won't feel quite as alone. I'll share this experience with you. For those of you that aren't all into the selfie thing and maybe would like to get started, this is kind of how you do it. But, you know, just moving on. So basically the idea I'm landing on or getting at here is I really do believe that God has designed us to be connected. God has designed us to be connected with others. However, because of the way we live today and society and people in traffic and people at work and people on the internet and people on the phone, and it seems like a lot of us actually spend more time seeking to be alone than to be connected with other people. And actually, I think there's this thing called isolationitis. Isolationitis. Don't look it up. But so I think it's possible to actually, because we're so disconnected, actually really have a tough run at life. And one of the very smallest ideas is, or the bad things of this would be thinking that we're actually the main player of everyone's movie of life, not just our own. And that the universe and the world and everything else actually does revolve around us rather than everyone else being as important, if not more, than I am. We were created to be connected. And there's this quote I want to share with you. It says this: the ability to love and connect with others lays the foundation for both psychological and physical health. Research illustrates that when we are in a loving relationship, we are growing. When we are isolated, we are slowly dying. Other research says that people that are well-connected relationally outlive those that are isolated and don't live connected with others. Even if you factor in the idea of those that are well-connected eating trash food and garbage and not really taking care of their bodies, they'll actually live longer, according to studies, than those that eat healthy food and exercise but aren't connected. So therefore, it's actually better to eat a donut with others than broccoli by yourself. And just to push that idea home, I actually brought a few donuts. I'd like for someone from the back to come running up here if you'd like a donut. I'm going to share one of these with you. You better come quick, because I know the front bench will take them real fast. No one. No takers. Marcos, band, come here, please. It's actually better to have a donut with friends than to take them all. My kids got to them before I was able to make it all the way here, so it's not quite a dozen. But it's actually better to have a donut with friends than just eat broccoli by yourself. So, in a sense, we're no good alone. We're no good alone. Life is not complete alone. Now, you may be asking, what does this have to do with church? You sound maybe more like Tony Robbins, or maybe even more like Brené Brown. What does this have to do with church? And I think it has a lot to do, and that's what I'm going to spend the rest of my time sharing with you in a very personal way, because this is very much about my experience as a Christ follower. A couple ideas real quick, just a couple thoughts. Honestly, I don't have a specific Bible verse, book, chapter, verse to say exactly what I'm trying to say this morning. However, I do believe that these ideas are all throughout Scripture. I really do believe they are all throughout Scripture. I would encourage you to read, to find. If you want to try to find a verse that says something different than what I'm saying, show me later. I'd love to see it. But I would encourage you to look through this lens in the future as you study and as you think. For those of you that are maybe new to the faith or just visiting from out of town or just coming and trying to figure things out, I'm so glad you're here right now. Like I said, there's not actually a whole lot of Bible verses. There are a few. But you can actually take this and apply it and benefit from it without having to believe everything we believe as Jesus followers. I do believe you can't believe it to the fullest or live it to the fullest without following Christ. But this is actually really helpful no matter who you are, where you're at in your walk with Christ. Now, I mentioned that this is really a part of my story. I grew up in what we could call a professional Christian family. And that doesn't mean that we were amazing Christians. That means that my parents were, that was their profession. There's two different things there, right? One's being a professional. And honestly, I looked it up, and I've been a quote-unquote professional Christian for 14 years. Like, right now, 14. I started when I was like 10. Full-time job. That's a joke. But, in a sense, my context is growing up in Christian family and people in ministry. And I was one of those kids that loved being in church and got to start working for churches early on in life. However, this is just my story. Maybe you're already way down the road ahead of me. But I learned things along the way. And I learned a lot of things. And some of those were paradigm shifting. And some of those ideas, some of those core ideas, I want to share with you today in the hopes that they can also help you as you're growing and walking with Christ. So what is church, and what does all this have to do with relational connectedness and following God? How does that have to do with church? And I would say churches exist. The way I say it is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what churches are all about, leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, for a long time, I thought that being a Christian was all about knowing and doing. All about knowing and doing. The more I could know, the more knowledge I could gain, the more insights and, you know, those things that are hidden behind, if you put this and this and this and this and that together, wow. And so I'm that guy. I did my master's studies and all this Christian world things, and that's me. I love today to read and learn and so forth. And I thought that being a Christian was all about knowing and doing. The doing part was obviously important. If I would mess up, am I still a Christian? You better do, and obviously don't, right? Come to church, check. Don't do that? Okay, great. Check. Right. So I, for a long time, understood Christianity to be a lot of that. But then I think that's the natural tendency for most of us, focusing on the knowing and focusing on the doing, because that's somewhat measurable. We can kind of see how we're doing, how we're going. But I came to understand as I grew in the faith and as I had other people around me that being a Jesus follower, and I am making a difference there between Christian and Jesus follower, not that Jesus followers aren't Christians, and Christians, not all Christians. I would suggest humbly that not all Christians, quote unquote, would be Jesus followers, because just think about it. You might say, yeah, I'm a Christian, and you say, well, are you following Jesus? That's a little bit different. So I'm suggesting that being a Jesus follower involves trusting and obeying him. Now, if that's important, then we need to know what he said, what he taught. And this is going to be a very brief summary, but I think if you're going to look in the Bible, in the scriptures, for a very brief summary, this is where it lands. Jesus, when they came to him and asked him, of all the over 600 different commandments, what's the greatest? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he said, the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Love your neighbor as yourself. They asked him for one, he gave them two. And it almost feels like he said, it's this one and this one. And with one without the other, it just doesn't work. It's this and this. In a different place in Scripture, he says, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And this leads us to a really big idea, which took me a while to get my head around. But it's the idea that God measures our love for him by our love for others. That God measures our love for him by how we love others. Now that's rough. I don't know about you, but it's a whole lot easier for me just to say, God, I love you. God, I love you. God, I want to serve you. God, I want to do what you want. And it's a whole lot easier to not love the neighbor who parks in front of the entrance to our house, or the kid that bullies my kid, or sometimes even my wife when we're just not getting it on the same page. Are you following me? I'm being really honest and vulnerable here. But it's a whole lot easier just to love God, the vertical idea. It's a whole lot harder to love horizontally one another. But I understand, and I propose, and if you don't agree, I'd love for you to just look and read and seek it out. God measures us. His love, our love for him, expressed through our love for others. That one another, as Lance has said. And there's over 50 of those in the New Testament. Love one another. Love, do this, do that, do that for one another, as you would for me. So, faith isn't so much about knowing and doing. It's more about trusting and loving. So I'm going to suggest that being a Jesus follower is all about trusting him and loving others. Trusting him and loving others. In a very real way, if we put it on a gauge, it's taking everything about me, and obviously he's in the mix, so it's not just me and we, but it's taking the we and moving that gauge from me over to the we. It's us in community, wanting another. God has invited us into community, and this is a really big idea, but just to throw it out there, a community of believers, of Jesus followers, he's invited us into that community, but even the community of God himself. In all of Christian theology, we talk about God being a Trinity, three persons in one. So in a sense, a very real sense, that is also a community, and we are invited into that community as well. Now here's a big idea, and this might be a jump or a leap for some of us, but I'm going to throw this out there, and this is what I'm going to push at for the rest of my time. We can't grow spiritually unless we're connected relationally. We can't do this unless we're actually doing this. And like I said a minute ago, God measures this by this. How we love him by how we love others. And therefore, this walking in community, this being a Jesus follower, this doing his will on this earth, is a whole lot about this being guided and connected to him. So therefore, the best answer to growing faith is life in community. Life spent with others in community. And I'm going to go on a small rant here. I hope not to offend anyone. But being a pastor's kid and doing this whole church thing, this is something I hear a lot. A lot of people say, yeah, that's right, life in community. It's all about knowing each other and taking care of our kids and doing life together and so forth. That's why we love small churches. And again, this is a rant, so if this isn't helpful, just shoot me later. But I feel like, no, that's not what it's about. It's not about small churches. Yes, it's about community, but why do we say small churches? Are we basically saying, sorry, there's not enough donuts for you? I mean, how would it be to be the last? You ever been in a line where you're waiting an hour, two, three, and for something really special, maybe to have a book signed or get into an event or something, and they come and they're counting, and this has happened to me numerous times, right before you, they're like, sorry, time's up. Sorry, space is full. Sorry. So that's personally what I hear when we say, yeah, let's keep the church small. Don't let it get big. No, that's not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about is a community group. The best way to grow in faith is to engage with others in a community group. Now, we talk about that a lot here. It's in the worship guide, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But for the few minutes that we still have together, I am going to nail this thing as hard as I possibly can because I believe in the importance of being connected, being engaged, doing life together in a community group. And now, what about a community group? Well, there's a part of community group that's just structured intentionality of doing what we're talking about, of sharing life together, of gathering around and reading the Word, gathering around and praying, gathering around and sharing our stories, letting ourselves be truly known, taking the time to truly know others, to invest in those relationships, to truly care for others. A quick story about this. About 8 years ago, we experienced with my wife our first community group. I told you I've been growing and learning as the years go by. And this was the first time I was in a community group. So my wife and I decided, yeah, we're busy. We got a lot going on. I think we had two kids at that point. And work and so forth and so forth. Normal, busy. We were in the U.S. at that time. Busy in normal American lives. And we said, yes, we're going to take some space out. We'd love to sit down with some people that are older than us, more advanced, more experienced, and learn from them. And we're raising kids. We're trying to figure out this whole profession thing. Let's go to a group. We would totally grow and learn from that. So we went to this group. We went to this event and got connected with the group. And lo and behold, guess what? There were no, and this, I say this with all respect, there were no gray-haired, experienced, wise people in the group we landed. And I was like, come on! Please, I wanted to grow. Like, I'm taking time out, I'm driving 30 minutes, and I'm taking an hour, 2 hours out of the week, making food, because we take food, taking out time to talk, and there's no wise people to learn from? Oh, man! And it ended up, they asked me and my wife to lead the group. So it's like, oh, double whammy. You know, it's like bad news all the way, it seemed like. And then we got to know some of the people, and it turned out, like, there were four or five of us couples. And it turned out two of the couples, the guys were just like baby steps in the faith and asking all these tough questions about who Jesus was. But before long, my frustration of not being around, quote-unquote, more mature people and Christians and marriages and so forth to learn from, it turned out that I started to learn from these friends who, as far as we measure things in spirituality and knowledge and all this stuff in Christian world, were way, way, way back. But I started learning from them. And we started sharing life together. And it turned into this not only incredible friendship, some of my best friends to this day, but I actually grew spiritually as we engaged and talked about daring questions about faith and why Christianity instead of this and that and what about this and all these tough questions, which most of us don't really have answers for, but it's important to grapple with. For example, one of my good friends to this day, a great friend, he was just baby steps into faith when we started meeting. He's like, Dwayne, you know what? There's one big problem I have with Christianity. I see all these Christians doing what they do, but it seems like they do it out of fear rather than love. And I was like, bam, that's me a lot of the time. Goodness gracious. And so I processed that for months, and I'm still processing that. I mean, Another guy, his name is Matthew. When we get together, he made it pretty clear up front, you know, I'm not praying in public. I'm not praying out loud. You guys can pray. I'm with you. Not praying. About 2 years in, because we were together with that couple for about 4 years, he started praying out loud and bringing requests, praying for each other. Now, you might say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, hopefully you can remember back in the day when it was hard to pray to God and even harder to do it in front of other people. So I really do believe that this idea of community groups is for everyone. Yeah, I may be one of the younger guys, or at least I like to think I am, and still have a whole lot more to grow. Maybe you have as many years following Christ as I have of life. But I've seen that we can all grow. Maybe you're just brand new, one of my friends back years ago, taking these first steps. Honestly, there's no better place to grow spiritually than in a community group. I really do believe that. Now, here's my definition. I put something together for today of a community group, a safe place, and this is huge, safe. You can come as you are. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to be afraid. Will they throw me out? Will they kick me out? Will they report it? You know, this is a safe place where we can be open, honest, and vulnerable. You know, this is what I'm really working through. Maybe it's about faith. You know, I just, this is hard for me to get. Maybe it's about life. You know, my wife and I, we're just really struggling. It's hard to see eye to eye. Where we can be open, honest, and vulnerable, sharing life, doing life together, truly digging in a deep relationship, to be known and to know others, truly, truly known. They know me, not just my fixed up, you know, handsomed up version, but they actually know me, ups and downs, to grow together in faith and love for God and others. So you see, I'm really, truly convinced that life change happens in circles. And when I say circle, I do mean like a group, a community group. I think life change happens in circles. Why? Because when we hear something, maybe it's in a session, in a place like this, we hear a teaching, we take it, and we take it to the dinner table, and we talk about it, we process it, we take it to some friends, we think about it, we go over it and go over it. If you hear something on the radio, or you hear another speaker that you like to hear, or read a book, you normally process these things, at least I do. I think most of us process it with others. And after we take these ideas and actually apply them, that's when life changes. So I really do believe that most life changes happens in circles. I'd love to think that life change would happen because of what I'm sharing today. That's a really lofty goal in reality. But you take an idea and talk about it with your spouse. Wow. As a couple, take it to another couple and talk about it and see how this applies, encourage each other, etc., etc. Now we're talking. So I'm going to be really bold, and FYI, Lance looked over my notes before I shared this, so he's at least somewhat on board. Maybe he'll be correcting me next week. But I actually am going to propose that circles are better than rows. I'm going to propose that circles, that groups are better than rows. And what I mean by that is that community groups, it's better to be in a community group if you want to grow spiritually than to be sitting in the pews. Now, I have nothing against sitting in the pews. I love rows. I love sharing with rows. I love teaching with rows. I love being on the bench and singing along with everyone in the congregation, along with the rows. I love rows. And hey, if they're rows of donuts, rows of circles, even better, right? I love rows. I really do. But if we're talking about life change and growing and following Jesus, nothing beats circles. Nothing beats circles. So a couple more ideas about what a connected life could look like. One, being in community provides perspective. Provides perspective. Our lows aren't quite so low because we see that maybe the world isn't ending just because my kids stained my favorite t-shirt. And the highs aren't quite as high because we see that although I got the promotion I've been hoping for, it's not just about me. Perspective. Other people's perspective of how they're understanding Scripture, what God is doing in their lives through the same things that you're studying together. Perspective is huge. Next thing, encouragement. Encouragement. People applauding you on. people giving you the high five and people saying, you can do it. Don't give up. Keep asking the hard questions. Don't be afraid. Bring it out. Come on, come on, come on. You proposed this. You set that goal as far as growing in your faith, as far as doing this with your family, as far as loving your wife or with your kids. Go for it. You can do it. Go for it. We're with you, cheering you on. People that know you, know what's going on, can do that for you. Next is a word I almost didn't put on the list because I feel like it's so overused and misunderstood. But I went ahead and put it on. Accountability. And I don't mean this in the negative sense, but I mean in the sense that, you know what, this is so important for me. I'm asking you to help me make sure I get this done. Make sure I do this. Make sure I live this out. Community, my wife and I have been working through this. We want you to hold us accountable. We want you to ask us how it's going. Because we want to get through this, and we believe we can, and part of that we understand is letting you in on our story. And there's support. Because we all need it sometimes. At some point in life, hopefully not real soon, maybe you've already been there, done that. If not, don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but it probably will happen where you will need people to lean on. And when you care for people, you care for them. When you care about people, you take out the time. You take out even the money and the resources. You take out the energy to be there for them. And this is the beautiful thing about community, groups. And I'm saying groups. And this can be community as well. I love hanging out outside, having coffee and different things to eat. Not very many often donuts, but I love that. But honestly, we don't get to know each other really, 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 really well. Just hanging out together after church. We're currently in two different community groups, and one of them especially, there's people here in this room that we've come to love dearly. We've shared our stories with them. We've shared the highest highs. We've shared the lowest lows. They know about us. They know the things, some of the things we're struggling with, and it's just incredible to have that close of friends. And at this point, we have experienced this together. And we haven't even had super terrible lows together yet. But the beautiful thing about this is when we're together in community and we know each other, in a sense we can even, quote unquote, and I say this carefully, we can even pastor each other and care for each other. And all of a sudden when you're in a low, you're not just trying to find the pastor so he can pray for you, so he can come and visit. Before you called the pastor, you already had a group of people that knew about it, that were on it. And sure, call the pastor, that's fantastic. But you aren't only dependent on that. So here's an idea. People following an irresistible God. And yes, I do believe that God, shown to us through Jesus, is irresistible when you truly understand who he is and what he's done. When people following an irresistible God become irresistible, because if we're following him, we will become like him. We're forming irresistible communities when we're together, one anothering one another, the way God has invited us to do. I believe those communities which will create irresistible churches that everyone finds simply irresistible. Now, I'd use that irresistible word numerous times. I'm aware of it. But people following irresistible God become irresistible, forming irresistible communities which create irresistible churches that everyone finds simply irresistible. Who doesn't want to be loved? Who doesn't want to be cared for? Who doesn't want to be encouraged? Who doesn't want to be supported? Who doesn't want to be known? We all do. And I think Mexico City does. And I think if we would love one another as Christ has called us to, we would become, not only do his will, but we would become even more irresistible. And people pounding down the door, I dream of that day, pounding down the door. What have you got? What's going on? You know, I'm not sure I believe everything you guys believe, but I really hope my daughter marries one of your kids. I really hope my son works for someone like you guys. Because what you're doing is just, it's irresistible. Francis Schaeffer said, our relationship with each other is a criterion for which the world uses to judge whether our message is truthful. Christian community is the final apologetic. Christian community is the final apologetic. How are we one anothering one another? And Jesus himself said it. We read this earlier. I only read part of it. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I truly do believe that life is better connected. Life is better connected. I'm not sure where this lands with each of you today, but I'd like to encourage you. In the next few weeks here at Union, we'll be doing a whole new push about getting people into community groups. I'd love to encourage you to risk it. I know sometimes it's weird. I know some of you maybe had a bad experience. I've had a couple weird experiences, but I always relate it to tacos on the street. I mean, sometimes you get one that you remember it for the next couple days, if you follow what I'm saying. But at least I don't give up. I keep going for them. And I think community group are a whole lot better and more important than tacos. So even if you've had an awful experience or whatever it might be, I'd love to encourage you to check out a community group, to get involved, to risk it, quote unquote. Because as I've said, I really do believe that we grow spiritually when we're connected relationally. And lastly, I just want to vision cast with you for a minute. Can you all imagine what it would be like for the community where you live, your neighbors? Let's just add all of our communities together and let's just be big and bold. And let's say Mexico City. Can you imagine what it would be like if Mexico City had hundreds or thousands of groups of people that loved each other and cared for each other and also loved and cared for those that were outside of the community? That's a different message, but this is also part of what we learned as experience as Christ followers. Can you imagine what would happen in the city? Can you imagine how people would come and want to know, like I mentioned a minute ago, want to know about this Jesus and want to know about this message? Can you imagine what your life would be like if you would have the type of community that I've mentioned here? Can you imagine what that would be like, even just for you and your family? I really do believe this is really worth digging in. I'd like to pray together, and then we're going to have another song with the worship team. God, I'm not quite sure where this lands with everyone today. Some people maybe have already been there, done that, and are arguing with me in their minds, and that's okay. Others might be questioning some of the different things I said, and that's all right as well. God, I just do ask you that you would take these ideas and take these words and plant them in our hearts and help us to know what to do with what we've heard today. God, I pray that you would encourage each and every one of us, especially those that are not yet or not now in the community group, to take that step. And to risk being vulnerable, to risk allowing others into their lives, to risk taking out a couple hours out of an already crazy busy week. And God, I pray for a special grace that as they take that risk, that they would find the type of community that we have found and that I know is available for each and every one. God, this is all about you. This is all about knowing you, trusting you, and doing what you've said, loving others. And God, I just pray you'd help each one of us to know how to live this out, starting tomorrow, this next week, and so forth. And we pray all of this